Hey, I'm Michael.
And I'm Greg.
And we're two new dads and the co-founders of a company called Lalo and your hosts of the Dad Pod, where we talk with cool dads doing cool stuff so we can learn a thing or two. Today, we're talking to Andy Stern, one of the founding team members and VP of talent and programming at Rumble. He's got a much different dad bod than Greg and I. And today we talk to him about how hard parenting actually is, how to find time to work out as a new dad, and keeping the legacy of grandparents who have passed alive. So probably like a month ago, I stepped on the scale for the first time since Gemma was born in quarantine.
Mm.
And it wasn't good.
Mm.
It was...
You don't have to put the number out. You don't have to...
Oh, I'm not putting the number out, okay. But it was like... It was pretty close to my post-college weight, which also required a rejiggering of my health and my weight. But I realized, like, I at the beginning of quarantine, I bought some running shoes thinking, oh, we're going to be locked down. I'll go for some runs outside. Went for two runs and then didn't run again.
That's the most fatal mistake, by the way. Buying something in anticipation of doing something. Everyone has done it. It is not the motivation.
The amount of times I hear from my wife about the things that I've bought to try to get into with fitness, whether it was boxing gloves or spin shoes or the list goes. I mean, there's like an entire Salvation Army filled with my fitness stuff that I've bought, workout clothes, you name it. But I finally decided like, no, I actually have to, this is not just about me. Like, okay, I have a kid now. I have to be healthier. I have a family with heart disease and diabetes. And like, if I'm not, you know, we're still youngish. You know, we got young. Yeah, I still feel like I graduated college yesterday, but it's time to get healthy. So I actually kicked off a new routine this week.
Bravo!
Yeah,
and yeah. How? 2 days in, 1 day in.
I'm 2 days in. I went 2 days in a row, but it's more. I'm very excited. It's actually right across from our office. I walked by and I saw this sign that was like coaching, and I Googled it, and it looked like, oh, it made sense. So then I had a call. I figured it out, and it's like, they make me a personal routine. So I'm accountable to a coach. I have a coach who we, you know, fitness, nutrition, sleep, stress, everything, walk me through all that just to try to create a healthy lifestyle. And it feels very different than any other sort of workout I've done before. So far, I'm 2 days in. My track record would have me quitting after 3 weeks probably, but I'm going to make it past.
I think so.
I feel good about it.
Being across from the office makes it a lot easier.
It's huge.
The lack of transportation
that you'll have to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's huge. I mean, my fitness has definitely taken a sharp decrease.
I can tell.
Oh, shut up. No, you can't. I'm a sicko though. I weigh myself every night and every single morning.
That's a sickness.
Which is definitely a sickness that I think I got from my mom. But yeah, it's like when you do have a kid, finding that time is so difficult. To be able to prioritize yourself on something that is not necessarily like, I've been a fitness junkie my whole life. I was probably in the best shape of my life in like 2017. Like right when we started, right when we had the idea for the business.
We used to go to the gym together.
Yeah, that's because you can do that at like 11:30.
Without a kid,
yeah, without a kid. And when it's just a team of two. But yeah, I'm not the same as I used to be.
Yeah, I've certainly had a hard time trying to figure. I mean, routine in general. I've said this so many times on this podcast. Routine does not come easy to me or Gabi. It just doesn't happen for us. So trying to work that into an already non-existent routine, trying to balance being tired, responsibilities, you know, trying to pull equal weight where possible. You know, it's hard. It's really, really hard. But I'm energized. I'm certainly energized.
So with you making your working out more of a priority in the morning, have you and Gabi had to develop any sort of schedule?
That's going to be a dinner conversation tonight.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
man.
So I think we have to
rejigger. I would love to be a fly on the wall.
No, thank you. That will be a rejiggering of our schedule, which we do because our lack of being able to like hold a routine. We do this like every 2 months.
Got it.
We like, and also I think at least every month or two, like, Gemma's changing pretty dramatically at this point. Like the amount of, she's down to basically one nap a day. Sometimes she'll still get two if, you know, depending on how the sleep was the night
before. That's a lot of work. I literally just think the other day is like, what happens when we go down in one nap?
And she's not a nap. So sometimes that one nap is still only 30, 45 minutes, but she's sleeping 12 hours through the night. So it's like, she's got fun situations. She's got, you know, she spends 2 days a week with her grandmothers and she had a lot of fun on those days. So like she doesn't want that. And right. she gets 2 days, you know.
Does she have FOMO? So,
I think she does.
Yeah.
I think she's got some serious FOMO. But, you know, I think there's gonna be some rejiggering. But I'm feeling energized. I kind of feel like I wish I had this plan
before.
Yeah, when I was becoming a dad, so I could work it in and incorporate it with a coach. Because I think the coach part is key here, because that's the level of accountability you need when you're trying to work it in, when you have a busy life.
100%.
I think that's good. But I'm really excited to hear from Andy, who's one of the founding members of Rumble.
And a pro.
And just a fit dude, to see how he's working it in with a 10-week-old. Hey, Andy, welcome to the show.
What's going on, Andy?
Thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure.
So Greg and I were just talking about this. You know, I just started a new workout routine. Yeah, thank you, Greg.
That's big.
And between the pandemic and having a kid now for 15 months, it's been that much of a layoff on working out. So it's been an interesting first week. As a new dad with just over a 10-week-old, have you maintained your own routine? How do you do it?
I'd be lying if I said I maintained it. You know, it's only fair to speak the truth. In my field, of course, I have to work out, right? That's a part of my job, teaching classes and training clients and so forth. But, you know, my personal routine has definitely taken a hit. And honestly, lately, it's some of my friends are about to have some kids too. So we just kind of, they've been asking the similar question. So I keep dumbbells kind of just laying around in the hallway. And if I get a free moment, I'll just crank out, you know, 50 reps, 100 wow. reps or something. And if I'm playing with the baby on the floor, you know, it sounds ridiculous, but crank out a few crunches, hold the plank. It sounds absolutely ridiculous. It sounds like I have like, you know, a little obsessive.
A little 10-pound bench press.
Honestly, you know what I'm saying? It's consistency to it. So
it's amazing. And this is something literally I just found out yesterday. But speaking of, can we make time? Can we do it? My grandma, who's 86-year-old, my grandfather just passed away recently. But all of a sudden, we were over there and she starts doing planks. She does every night for 120 seconds, she told me.
No way.
And starts busting out crunches. And I looked at her, I was like, fuck, I'm just lazy.
That's why she's 86.
Right. Exactly. That's why she's thriving right now.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. And so you had a baby 10 weeks ago, right?
Yes.
Wow. Congrats on that. You're young. You must be a pro already.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah, welcome to the club. But I mean, listen, so many people I've seen, if it's on social media or all over, decided, you know, 2020, you know, with the pandemic was going to be the year of the baby. Was the baby always in the plans to happen around then? Or did the pandemic, you know, just being inside, speed up the timeline a little bit?
It was definitely always in the plan, but not, you know, I would say a few months earlier than, you know, we were really anticipating. But it came as kind of just a blessing and you know, fortunate with the timing to kind of be pregnant and quarantined. You weren't missing out much. You know, you couldn't go out drinking and such anyway. So, you know, we were kind of just home, sheltered in. We stayed down the shore for a few months with Julia's parents. But, you know, it's crazy. I thought the same thing because I saw social media and everybody blowing up with their baby photos and announcements. And I read a recent report that there was actually a decline in births in this year or coming year as well. So I thought the same thing. I thought there was going to be a huge boom, but I guess based on financial kind of insecurities for a lot of people, people were holding off.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We're seeing, you know, when we look at the data, that report is kind of generalized to all of America. And when you look at different household income brackets, you see different breakdowns of how people react there. So I think, you know, I think for those that were feeling more financial insecurity, it definitely held people off. And those, you know, look, the markets were up big in 2020 at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So,
yep.
You know, plenty of people are, you know, fortunate enough to seeing the fruits of that despite everything. And, you know, that's leading to some booms here and there, but maybe within pockets while, you know, more broadly, you know, when you look across the entire set of people in a certain age bracket, it's down.
Definitely.
Yeah. But, you know, what's, you know, 10 weeks, like, how's it going?
it feels like it's been one day for 10 weeks, you know, one consistent long ass day. As you guys know, you know, the sleeping pattern. I used to joke with my mom. I used to say, because being in fitness, you wake up early, you teach early classes and you teach late classes and you teach every day kind of thing. And I always say, Ma, I live tired. But now it takes that statement to a whole nother level, because there is little bit of sleep. And when you can get it, you're barely asleep, because you're just, you're wired or you're thinking about things. And so that's been definitely the challenge, just getting that kind of routine down pat.
How is she doing? I mean, is she starting to sleep a little bit more? I mean, you guys are really still in the sort of the throngs of it, but has it gotten
sleeping,
any easier or getting harder?
Sleeping worse. Getting harder. Yeah. Which is, you read every article and every article contradicts each other. So it's hard to think of what's the right thing to do. You know, we're doing the blackout shades and the noise machine and swaddling and holding her and, the feeding and such. So you do everything that you think is right, but ultimately the kid's going to do what the kid wants to do. And if, she wakes up, it's time to hold her. Yeah, totally. Exactly.
What they don't tell you is the noise machine is really for the parents to block out the noise, not the other way around, I think.
Yeah.
I am so tired of hearing white noise. It's unbelievable.
For a while, we had been upstate at my parents' when the pandemic just shut down, and we had an apartment that was under renovation, so we had to move out, whole deal. And we didn't have our noise machine with us, and we used to play on Spotify. There's a vacuum cleaner.
Yes. And man, that's worse.
It was like, I'm surprised that wasn't my most played song of 2020. It was on repeat. We used to set it so it would just repeat and never turn off. And that was our noise machine. And it was so painful.
Nuts.
In terms of your expectations of parenthood thus far, look, you're just into it, but is it harder, on par?
Harder times 100. It's actually when people ask me, how's it going? I say it's good and it's hard. The good outweighs the hard, but the hard is hard.
Yep.
And I mean that, because it's tough in society. I'm happy that we're on this podcast. I'm happy you guys started it, because, as dads, we don't really get that option to talk. We don't, and rightfully so, we didn't go through the whole pregnancy and labor, and there's, the mother thing, which is obviously huge physically and emotionally. But men, we feel that emotion too. And, for us, it's supporting our partner, but the hard part of it is way harder than I ever expected so far. And I'm just hoping it gets easier.
What has been the most challenging part for you?
I think maintaining somewhat of a routine, which, again, just might be a creature of habit. I was obviously so regimented and consistent with my just routine, and having that kind of thrown off. And now, that full 100 dependence that you got to put onto somebody is a blessing. It's great, right? But it's still 100% of your attention dependent. Someone's depending on you. So there's that aspect of still trying to find a little bit of time for yourself, still time for your wife or your partner, and then, obviously work. So it's like you got so many balls up in the air you're trying to juggle, that a lot of times I'm assuming it's just our personal kind of time gets devoured first, which I'm recognizing is real.
If you, looking back, maybe, okay, you find out that you guys are expecting, what advice would you give your past self in setting up your expectation for becoming a dad? Like, how would you have shifted your expectations and giving your past self advice or future dad's advice?
I would have, look, we did a good job. Like prior to, we did the whole traveling thing, because I think a lot of couples always say, I wish I traveled more. So I was fortunate on that end. But in terms of prep closer to, honestly, we're still doing a lot of meal prep companies. We're still doing microwavable meals. And obviously we're health conscious people. So that's a challenge in itself. We did a lot of pre-made. My sister-in-law and her boyfriend made a bunch of good meals, but we ate those in the first week. So I would have probably thought about doubling down on just quality food being accessible. Because I'm telling you, we were eating out, ordering in pizzas, burgers from probably 6 weeks prior to due date, because we were in anticipation and we didn't really want to do the whole cleaning and setup. And, so it was a lot of that kind of just waiting game. So looking back, if I was to tell myself, one thing, I'd say get the diet in check sooner, because it's going to fall off a bit. So if I could tighten up, by the time it happens, I'll be a little less, falling off kind of status.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Better.
Yeah.
Greg always says that one of the best gifts he got was pre-made meals.
By far.
It's huge.
The most useful gift on a day-to-day, like to not have to, it's a lot. It was so much about I'm a big like, let me look at the menu like 3 weeks before I go to the restaurant type of guy. So to not have to think about what the next meal was and to know it was home cooked, it was healthier, then probably a choice I would make on my own, gave me a ton of satisfaction. I could just sit down, have dinner, and then, you know, while my son was sleeping for, you know, maybe the 30 to 45 minutes that he slept at that point in time, you know, we could just like kind of chill instead of thinking about what was for my next meal.
Yeah. There's a,
we had a nice Postmates gift too. So if anyone's listening to this and you want to give somebody that's having a kid a gift, great gift.
Yeah.
Great gift.
Yeah. There's another company in the New York area called IPSA, I-P-S-A, eatipsa.com, that does frozen meals, like high quality homemade style. And it was one of the founders, a former chef from 11 Madison Park and Gramercy Tavern. So you're getting high quality, awesome food. And we luckily got gifted because he's a friend of ours and he hooked us up with some of his
huge
meals, but it's awesome if you're in the New York area. So there's like, there's starting to be, I think some good resources out there to get like high quality pre-made home style cooking.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean like even just getting that help from, you know, whoever it is to come and do some of the things that are part of your routine because you don't have time for that is so huge.
The dishwasher is daunting. The laundry is daunting. Like it's the little things that, you know, then you just sound like, you know, a diva kind of thing, but it's like, no, that stuff's got to get done. And, you know, us being the kind of support role players at this point, it does fall a lot on us and it's brutal. It's brutal.
Yeah. Shifting gears here a little bit. I mean, you built your brand. You're like so much of your world is around social media. Like you are active on social media. You have quite a big following. You're, you know, super involved in the growth and, you know, foundings of Rumble. How have you guys managed that with Presley? Like, do you keep her off? Is she involved in that? Like, how do you guys think about that in the future?
It's funny you ask. So obviously, like you said, that's kind of what we built. You know, we've had success with it and it's been a tool that's used to fill our classes, build our brand. As we've traveled, we've got to meet people and train different clients. So when, you know, the decision came about it, we wanted it to be tasteful. We didn't want to overflood with Presley. We did feel like it was important to show her because she is a part of our lives. And it wasn't like we wanted to make it seem like we were hiding our kid. And my brother actually had a baby, a second kid, a few weeks right before us. And he is the complete opposite, 180 degrees. You know, he's got a 4-year-old who's never been a face on Facebook. And it's just a different mentality, right? Like I said, our business is built on it. So, you know, not exploiting Presley, but, you know, making sure that people do see who she is. And that's a real part of our lives and a big part of our lives. And it's not just working out and all the sponsored ads kind of thing. It's like, no, we got a kid now, you know? So
awesome. Yeah. No, I mean, we're pretty practical about it. I think one of the things we were most scared about was the, like our parents sharing on social media without permission. Cause we've seen that where just like, you know, it's grandparents posting, you know, at will. And, you know, we still want to have some control, but I think we're pretty practical about it. Gemma, my daughter, is not like completely kept off of our social media, but she's not prominently featured her there. And I've found myself like, I try to only post her in stories. So it kind of goes away. Yeah. It's kind of and just by a habit, not by like a rule that I set for myself.
Totally.
Sure.
Yeah. No, I think that's totally fair. I mean, Andy, you know, one thing, you know, that Michael and I, you know, as we were preparing for this, you know, we know you lost, you know, two parents, you know, prior to having a kid. Me similarly, you know, I also lost a father in 2017, like very, very sudden as well. And it's impacted, and vice versa, you know, it's impacted me incredibly as I think about raising my son and how I want him to, like how I want him to grow up. How has it impacted you?
You know, it's my brother and I are having this conversation a lot, and it's, you know, I'm trying to navigate. You navigate through a lot of emotions. This one in particular, without having my parents, is when I think in hindsight, I only had my grandmother on my mom's side when I was growing up. So, and it's weird, right? Because then I think about how my knowledge of my grandfather and my other grandparents is limited, right? Just based on what my parents have told me. few pictures. Obviously, older days, you know, you don't get the pictures and the videos as much, but I don't know them, you know, point blank. It's like, I don't know top 10 facts about them. So I fear that, you know, I do fear that with Presley. It's like, as much as I'm going to keep my parents' legacy alive and traditions alive, like, in 30 years, does it become the same conversation? Which to me is crazy, right? Because your parents are your parents, but like to your kids, it's their grandparents. And if, you know, they kind of get, I don't want to say forgotten about because it sounds terrible, but you know, ultimately, you know, forgotten. So that bothers me often, you know, and it's just, what can you do really besides try to keep their legacy alive with, you know, pictures and stories?
It's hard. It's definitely hard. I mean, I can, you know, I did grow up with four grandparents. I've actually never thought about it that way. Now I have one grandparent left, but mm-hmm. I never thought about it from that perspective that you just said. It was like, oh, well, if they weren't here, what would I know about them? The only thing I can already tell my son is like, he is a lot like me and I was a lot like my dad. So ultimately, like, there's this innate legacy that I hope will live on and he'll at least appreciate and or understand at some point in time.
Right.
So
is there any tradition or legacy that you've already tried to incorporate, even these early days, you know, without her understanding anything or anything you like think about or wanting to bring in the future that was, you know, something you got that was very near and dear to you with your parents that you want to keep carrying on?
We've done simple things throughout. We always did a yodel as cake, you know, just as growing up, we always liked the yodels in the house. So like that's something I'll definitely keep traditional. We do play their music, you know, the 60s kind of style, which is always good, you know, just good music in general. But for me, it's nostalgia of my parents. For her, it's no way it's going to be nostalgia of me. It's going to probably be like the 90s, 2000s hip hop, but you know, at least it's something. And then it's honestly fitness, which obviously my parents brought me into. My dad was huge into fitness, who kind of pushed my, you know, career into this thing. So, you know, it's tough because there's a lot of the things that I'm doing now that I probably don't recognize are traditional. Mm-hmm. Even just certain meals like meatballs on Sunday, like you try to get that. We're trying to create our own, as you guys I'm sure are too. Like, for right, sure. Just trying to bring in some new traditions, but as they come up, I'm sure they're going to be like, you know, that's where I got it from. And I'm not going to recognize it until that happens.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, just, you know, we like to always close off and, you know, if we can, for especially for the newer dads, you know, we've had people on that we're expecting. We've had people on, mm-hmm. you know, similar to you just in the early, early, early days. Now that we're seasoned vets, you know, Greg's got a 13-month-old and I got a 15-month-old.
Does it get easier? That's the question.
Yeah. I thought that might be what you asked because you kind of hinted at it earlier.
Good Lord.
It doesn't get easier. It gets different. Yeah, it gets different. But what it does get, I think, is more fulfilling over time too. So
that's good.
In those first 2 months, you kind of have a blob.
I don't think kind of. Like you, yeah, you, kind you, of, do.
You do. Straight up. It's not kind of. It's just a blob, right? Like they're barely seeing in front of their face. They don't have any expression. Like those smiles that come out in the early days are like 100% reflexive.
Right.
And is probably just because they're pooping. And and then they, you know, there's a moment, you know, at 4 months for sure, they start to come alive and then more and more and more. And now like my daughter's walking and like, yesterday, I was 2 days ago, I was watching her and we went outside with her little baby stroller and she was walking it around the street.
That's awesome.
Waving to everybody we passed. And like, look, I was having to chase after her that she didn't go in the street. So that would make it easier. It was different, but it was so much fun to see her engage with adults and wave at them and every dog that passed on the street. And that's so, I mean, that's more fun.
Starting to see life through their eyes.
Totally.
Yeah. Craziest thing lately or... The thing that I've just noticed and just been so much more fun now and you have so much to look forward to is that they like already, not only is he copying, but he is starting to get like know how to get his way. And it's amazing. He can communicate to me. He has one word, which is da-da, which he doesn't actually say to me. That's just his word he likes to say. But like he knows how to get his, like he's starting to test me of like, how long does he have to sit there and cry before I do something where he right. knows I'm going to go and get him. So now I feel like, like now I got to become a parent. So I would say that's something where like a little bit different of, you know, before it's like a little bit more gentle and sweet. And now I'm like trying to like figure out myself, like, am I doing the right thing? Mm. And ultimately I don't know if there is a right thing or a wrong thing. We'll find out. We'll see how he turns out.
It's the big question with everything, though. Am I doing this right?
Totally. You know? Ultimately, you got this, Andy. I mean, it's not easy, but it can be fun. It can be rewarding, and it can certainly be tiring and challenging. But thank you so much for joining us today. It was awesome chatting.
Great to chat.
Definitely. Thank you, guys. And good luck.
Thank you. Thanks for tuning into the Dad Pod. Let us know who you want to hear on the pod next by DMing us on Instagram at Lalo, that's L-A-L-O, or emailing us at dadpod@meetlalo.com. We'll catch you next week with a brand new episode.